Hello, everyone, and welcome to another packed edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. As always, I'm your host, Luke Sicari, and joining me on the line from thepickandroll.com.au is Damian Arsanis. Damo, how are you?
Very good, and look, we're going to cover a huge amount of basketball today. Get going from the WNBL, the NBL, the NBA, Europe, and of course, college basketball's back.
It is back in a massive way. We're going to go all around the world and in all different types of pro leagues and college leagues. We're going to go everywhere, even some free-on-free action at the end, Damo, just to finish this off nicely. But we are going to start with the WNBL, Damo, because there was something big happened at the State Basketball Center on Sunday afternoon in the second half of a back-to-back for the Melbourne Boomers. Liz Cambage just came out, and mate, she played good on Saturday as well, but Sunday in particular showed how she is just a class above the rest of the competition, and just shows a bit of a reminder from Liz just how dominant she can be.
Yeah, well, I was there at that game, and I was there on the Monday before too, yep. The Cup Eve game, and look, she is just a mountain, and the way she played on Sunday in particular, she was devastating. Adelaide Lightning are a very, very good team. Mm. And they've got Ruth Hamblin, and you know, she's got the nickname the Hammer. She is big and strong as well. She had no answer to Liz Cambage. She was hitting them. Cambage was even launching three-pointers in this game. Not that she hit them, but her confidence was so high, she was shooting them.
Yeah.
And 44-point outing in the WNBL is huge. And, of course, for the Melbourne Boomers, more importantly, over the last week, they've had three wins. Yep. So they had the Cup Eve win over Dandenong, which they escaped with that win. That was one that they probably shouldn't have won, but they came away with it in the last couple of minutes of the game, and you were there as well.
Yeah.
Great atmosphere, nearly 3,500 people there.
By far, I think I mentioned it last week, by far the loudest and most energetic WNB crowd I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, well, they backed it up. They were in Sydney on Saturday night, so the reigning premiers, they knocked them off, and Jenna O'Hay was back in action. Now, there's another name we haven't really talked about this year because she hasn't been on the court much. She'd come back from injury, a calf injury, and was sensational. She helped fire them to a win. And then to turn it around less than 24 hours later and get the win on a Sunday afternoon at 2:30 after playing in Sydney Saturday night, that's a phenomenal effort. And for a player like Liz Cambage to do that, cramped up on a plane, and come out the next day, all 6'8" of her, that's massive.
It's massive. She's first in the league in points at 21.7 per game. You know what? It makes the Melbourne Boomers dangerous. We were talking about them before the season, saying they've got a packed roster now. You've got Liz is in full form. Some of us question how long will it take her because she hasn't played basketball in a long time, but it's been a seamless transition. Jenna O'Hay, like you mentioned, is back from injury. So all of a sudden,
she's the most important player in that team, Jenna O'Hay, not Liz Cambage. And Jenna O'Hay is a WNBA player and great inside-outside ability, but it's her leadership that she brings to the team. And she's really good friends with Liz Cambage. And we all know that Liz Cambage can be temperamental at times, but certainly with Jenna O'Hay there and a good friend to help steady the ship, those two together form a formidable duo for the rest of the league. And certainly they're stamping their authority right now. But there is some sad news in the WNBL this week too.
Yeah.
Luke, and I was there calling the game on Friday night at Dandenong. Sarah Blitzer's foot stuck to the floor with 30 seconds to go in the first half. And the news isn't good, Luke, is it?
No, it's not. So obviously she had her scans. Obviously we feared the worst as soon as it happened. I think you kind of know when something that serious happens. Everyone just gets that bad feeling in their stomach. Scans on Monday night revealed, yes, she had the torn ACL in her right knee that we expected. But after surgery, they also found a torn meniscus and a fractured knee, all in her knee for Sarah Blitzer. So it's just...
She just about ticked all four boxes. The only one she didn't do was a medial ligament.
Yeah, so it's just absolutely shocking luck for the 24-year-old. Now, not only will Sarah miss the rest of this WNBL season and probably the start of next season, her WNBA hopes are also dashed for at least 12 months.
And the Commonwealth Games.
Yes, I was going to touch Comm Games and the Women's World Cup if she were to qualify for both those two teams. So it's just... Look, she's 24, so she's still young. She's very positive, Sarah Blitzarves. You know, she'll bounce back, I'm sure of that. But
and we wish her all the best in getting back as soon as possible.
We all do. Send the best.
Class act,
energetic, always positive. So I'm sure she'll get back on the court. But just quickly before we move on, Damo, just in the short-term future for the Dandenong Rangers, who are battling for a top-four spot, how much does this set back Larissa Anderson's squad in that chase for a playoff position?
It's a massive setback. She, in my opinion, is along with Steph Blitzars, of course, her sister-in-law now. They're the most important players on that team. And without Sarah Blitzars, who, for mine, is the closest thing to Jenna O'Hay at the moment we have in the league in Australia, inside-outside player, arguably bigger and stronger and has a more physical presence in the paint. They lose their best player. They lose their leading scorer. What else do you want to say? Yeah. Like, their chances are going to be slim now. Look, if they can scrape into the top four, that'd be an outstanding effort for Danny Nong now.
Can they bring any? All their import spots are filled, so they can't bring anyone in externally. So it'd have to be maybe a local call-up player
playing overseas to get anywhere near the quality of what they need to replace. So it's a tough loss for the Rangers.
Yeah. Hey, Damo, let's move on. I know college basketball is just, you're an absolute lover for it. It's your area of strength, I reckon. We're one weekend down. You know, we did the big preview podcast last week. Here we are this week, a weekend down. There's, even just flicking through Twitter, you see all these stats flying around of these Aussie basketballs in college. I just want to get run the listeners through the best college performances from the Australians in the first weekend of college basketball.
Oh, look, there's been so many great performances. You know, Deng Adel, he's an NBA talent, right? He opened the season in red-hot form for the number 16-ranked Louisville. He had game-high 20 points. It was a tougher than expected win over George Mason. But the 6'7 wing, he was in great form. 9 of 17 from the field, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. And, you know, he certainly put his name up there and a great start, even though it was a bit closer than expected for the Cardinal. But he's an NBA prospect, Deng Adel. He's someone we should definitely be looking out for. And he's in his junior year. So he's still got a year of eligibility, but I doubt he'll return, particularly if he has a great season this year. Baylor, he's another team that made a deep run in the NCAA tournament last year. They've got an Aussie senior centre in Joe Lual Achille Jr., a big 7-footer. Seven-footer that can hit 3-pointers, I should add. He had 17 points on an efficient 8 of 12 shooting with 9 rebounds, a block shot. His team's ranked number 24 in the nation. His team was on fire, so definitely look out for him. And he's arguably the second-best centre behind St. Mary's pivot, Jock Landau. And St. Mary's are in action right now, so unfortunately we won't be able to give our listeners a pure update of where he's at in that game. But certainly in the opening game, the 22nd-ranked St. Mary's, they had a big win against St. Francis. Jock Landau, who's rated obviously probably the best centre in the country, he was 6 of 8 from the field, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. Really didn't need him because Joe Rahon, he had an outstanding game. But Emmett Nahr, he's another Aussie we've talked about as well. He handed out a career-best 12 dimes alongside 8 points on 4 or 5 shootings in a dominant display. There's Aussies all over the St. Mary's team. Tanner Krebs had 8 points off the bench. Jordan Hunter did the same with 6. So good news there for St. Mary's. They're a nationally ranked team. And then there was a game that we had Aussies on both sides of the fence. We had TCU taking on Louisiana Monroe. And TCU, which would have gone in as favourites against the Warhawks, it was the Warhawks' Sam McDaniel. Now, you probably heard the name McDaniel, son of a former NBL star, Xavier McDaniel. Well, the 6'6 wing poured in a game-high 21 points, 7 of 14 shooting. He had 3 triples, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. He stuffed the stat sheet. There's a reason why I had him in my top 10 Aussies this year. And did it against TCU. Now, while they didn't get the win, he was going up against a TCU team with a couple of Aussies, and one in particular who's our number one rated rookie of the year so far, our freshman of the year, Kuat Noi. Yep. He came off the bench and had 12 points himself, 4 of 8 from the field, 22 minutes. He was really impressive, and he's going to be pushing for a starting berth on the Horned Frogs this season. Then you got another guy, and look, Mel Burney, and we love him, DJ Vasiljevic.
Yes, a name that many people be familiar with, down at Miami.
Yeah. Big shooter. He had a big preseason, but he helped fire the number 12-ranked Hurricanes. So Aussies all on nationally ranked teams here at the moment. Number 12 Hurricanes got a win against Navy. He drained 4 of 8 from downtown for 16 points, 3 rebounds and 2 steals. So really good start from him after he had a cold opening in their opening win. He went 2 of 12 from the field, so not probably the way he wanted to start, but bounced back really well. And then there's another Mel Burney and two, Jack Purchase at Hawaii. He had an 18-point effort in their second game. 2 straight wins for the Rainbow Warriors to open the season. So another good one. Can I keep going? Arguably, the most impressive collegiate debut. So we've had a number of guys make their debut. There's a huge list of them. Isaac White from South Australia, he put in a stunner for Stanford in their win over Cal Poly. He hit a perfect 5 of 5 from long range, five of five from downtown, 18 points in 26 minutes, and the 6-1 guard just earned praise from everyone on both sides for that huge win. Now, I'm a big fan of the New Mexico Lobos. That goes way back to all the Aussies, Luke Longley, more recently, yep. Hugh Greenwood and Cam Bairstow.
Yep.
They got another Aussie there now, Makuach Maluach. He made an impressive debut, 6-5 guard, 7-7 from the field, 4-5 from the line, 18 points for the Lobos.
The Lobos. That's a lot of names and a lot of numbers, Damo.
huge. But the biggest performance of the week has come today, Tima Maniki.
Yes. Talk us through it.
The senior, 28 points and 8 rebounds for UC Davis in a big win over Northern Colorado. Now, he's got ambitions for the NBA, and if he can keep pouring points in like that, he's certainly going to be in calculations.
Absolutely. Well, that was a lot of good news on the college basketball front, of course.
Hey, I love my college basketball.
We know you do, Damo. It's the first weekend, so we thought it would let you let loose a little bit. Hey, pickandroll.com.au if you want to see the written up version of everything that Damo just said, plus more. You can check it all out there. Hey, let's move on to the pro ranks. We're just going to quickly touch on the NBA this week because there hasn't been any breaking news on the others in the NBA. Of course, Ben Simmons.
Apart from Ben Simmons doing what Ben Simmons does.
Yeah, look, I mean, 13 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds against Golden State, 18-6-2 against Sacramento. He is playing, as of this recording, live against the LA Clippers, so who knows how he's playing there. I'm sure it's doing well, so we can't update listeners on that as it's live at the moment. What I did want to touch on, Damo, quickly, is something that we missed last week because of the timing of the podcast. Aaron Baines is 21 points and 8 rebounds against the Lakers last week.
Career high.
It was one of his best performances. And then the next game, he went and elbowed Kyrie Irving in the face. So,
well, you know what he did? He basically gave him a bit of a touch-up to say, you should have chosen the Boomers, mate. You should have chosen the Boomers. 2020.
And that was a collective elbow from the rest of Australia as well, just if that was the reason behind it. Speaking of the Boomers, really quickly before we move on off the NBA stuff, of course, Eric Bledsoe traded into Milwaukee Bucks. How does that affect Matthew Dellavedova with his minutes-wise? Of course, he was a backup to Malcolm Brogdon. Dele played 12 minutes against Memphis today, so they are dwindling a little bit.
He went head-to-head against Patty Mills last week. But the highlight of that game for me was when Dele took Patty into the screen by Thon Maker.
Yes.
Patty got hit. Now, I don't want to see
Patty get hit. An Aussie sandwich is what you're saying.
That's pretty much what it was.
That's what we love to say. If there's a slew of Aussie NBA guys on the court at the one time getting involved in the play, that is great for the game of basketball. Hey, let's move on locally. NBL action. Just want to quickly touch on the NBL this week, Damo, because there was massive news, and that was the signing, of course, of the reigning league MVP, Jerome Randle, and ex-NBA big man Jeremy Tyler to the Sydney Kings. Travis Leslie.
Big signing.
Travis Leslie and Jeremy Kendall make way to allow those guys to come in. Now, I was at the Melbourne United Sydney Kings game on the weekend. It was Jeremy Tyler's debut. Now, look, it was very funny. He was gassed after about 4 minutes. I was caught on the scorer's table, so I was right in front of Andrew Gaze. And there was this one moment near the end of the last quarter, Tyler literally turned to Andrew Gaze mid-play and just pointed at his chest saying, "Coach, get me off. I am gassed." And Gaze just said, "You got to run back on defense. Come on, push. I mean, the poor guy, he was less than 24 hours off the flight. Jason Kadee said after the game they'd basically met him at 7:30 the previous night. Heard today that he didn't even have underwear. Leonard Copeland had to take him out to buy some underwear and some shoes on the day of the game. So he was just an absolute... That being said, he actually was not bad. I'm pretty sure he scored 6 points in his first on-court stint in his first 5 minutes. So, look, he's big. He has to get in shape. He's a big he's a big man. Gazy mentioned...
It's massive news, Randle, that's for sure. And, look, the only thing I'll ask you, Luke, is it too late for Sydney, though?
Look, they're 2-7. But that being said, Cairns and Brisbane and things above them are on 4 wins, so it's not too late, but they'll need a win. I mean, there's no room for Roro now. I don't expect them to. I just think the league's too hard to get in a really long winning streak. And look, they've got these guys. They still have Kevin Lish to return, but they've got to gel together. I mean, they're going to have minimal practice time to make this gel. How does Gazy...
And Gazy's still an unproven NBL
He is. How does he get these egos and these talents to mix? Look, I don't think it... look, regardless, I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think they're too far behind the eight ball because look at Perth, New Zealand are setting the pace. So that's nearly two spots already taken. But regardless, it's going to be entertaining to watch him figure it out. Look at Jerome Randall's first week. He plays the Hawks, who we know he doesn't like. They've got history. Then he faces Adelaide, his former team. So we're not going to wasting no time in seeing Jerome Randall at his absolute entertaining best. Hey, Damo, Europe. What's happening in Europe before we wrap up?
Oh, look, Europe, Brock Modem's been in great form in Turkey. And, of course, he's a boomer we'd all love to see potentially come back for 2019 World Cup. And he helped his team earn a good win in the Turkey Super League. And in Russia, Ryan Brokhoff's Lokomotiv Kuban has continued their impressive run in the VTB United League as well. But I guess the biggest performance by Modem in the past week was 13 points off the bench. As his team finished over the top, and I can't really say this, so I'm going to give it a crack. Yesil Jettison Beledi.
It passes my test.
they're not very good, but it was a tense contest. He did really well, 6-6 from the field in 20 minutes. So his team's now in fourth place, but only one win behind the unbeaten Tofas. And in the EuroLeague, his side had a massive win, their first win of the season, and it was over Barcelona. Yes. So big win, but unfortunately for Modem, he saw little time in that game and had just 4 points. Jonah Bolden, though, now his team has been on fire. Maccabi Tel Aviv in the EuroLeague is unbeaten, and he went 4-4 from the field for 8 points and 7 rebounds as his side toppled Spanish giant Real Madrid. Mm. Now they feature Slovenian prodigy Luka Doncic, who's being talked up as being a potential NBA number one draft pick. A massive win for Bolden's team in the EuroLeague. And Ryan Brokhoff's EuroCup team is undefeated as well. So he had 10 points and 4 rebounds coming off the bench in a win against Partizan Belgrade. And he had a massive putback slam. So make sure you check out pickandroll.com.au for those highlights.
Absolutely. Hey, before we wrap up, Damo, really quickly, there's some news in the Champions League basketball this week. Some free-on-free action coming down under and the rebirth of some very familiar names.
Well, yeah, it is. It's some people might call it blasphemy. Some people will call it smart. And look, at the end of the day, they're taking advantage of some NBL history.
Yep.
They've resurrected the Hobart Devils brand and the Townsville Suns. Of course, the Townsville Suns a long time ago before they became the Townsville Crocs. That's what they were known as.
And before the Phoenix Suns got involved.
Yeah, well, then that's actually a fallacy because that was made up so they could rebrand.
Right.
There was actually no threat of legal action by the Phoenix Suns at all. So don't believe what you hear. There was no such thing. The club wanted to rebrand because they thought there was greater marketing opportunity with the Crocs. And, of course, they did a great job under the Crocs, if you talk about it from that point of view. Great brand. But at the end of the day, the CLB 3-on-3 have essentially announced that they're going to have a national league of up to 24 teams. And these are just the first two. And word is, over the next 2 weeks or so, they're going to announce the next two. And I do believe I know one of them, but my lips are tied.
Come on, Damo. Come on.
No. I won't be able to get the sources in future.
No, you've got to present the sources. No. But hey, I'm sure.
On that matter, it does sort of pose the question. There's been lots of talk about NBL expansion.
Yep.
And I think, while we're running out of time, it'd be great to hear from anyone listening to our podcast. Hopefully there's more than one. But certainly love to hear from fans about league expansion. What teams, which clubs, which cities do we want to see?
Absolutely. Of course. I mean, look, we could talk about that for another 20 minutes. The inclusion of AFL clubs potentially coming in, and it does want to be 2 teams, 4 teams, how in the time frame, 2 years, 3 years. So there's a lot to dissect in that regard. But hey, yeah.
Well, there has been. So you look at some of the AFL teams and partnering with netball. So,
yep. Collingwood obviously has got that. I know Richmond's been involved in an NBL team for a long time. The GWS Giants are involved in a netball team. Even the Melbourne Storm have a share in the Lightning in the netball competition. So it doesn't have to be AFL. You know, Melbourne Storm are very successful and strong foundation clubs in Melbourne. So hey, there's plenty of possibilities. We want to hear from you. Chuck it out. Pick and roll AU on social media. Let us know. Who do you want to see back in the league and why? Give us a reason. Don't say, oh, the Melbourne Tigers because I was a 20-year member. Why do you want the Melbourne Tigers back in? Is it going to help? Where are they going to be located? All that type of stuff. We want to hear your pitch for your NBL club.
We'll share it on next week's show.
Absolutely. And on that note, Damo, it wraps us up for another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. pickandroll.com.au for all your Aussie basketball news, views, and opinion and analysis, of course. Pick and Pop podcast is a podcast you're listening to. Pick and Roll AU and all the social media channels as well. Damo, thanks for joining me.
No problem. Speak next week.